this morning, and passage that I think is perfect for us as we look into this new year. We're going to look at Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. Let me read those verses, and then we'll discuss those. Joshua 1, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go to the camp and tell the people, get your provisions ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land your God is giving you for your own. On this first Sunday of 2022, I'm sure many of you are wondering, what will this day hold for me? What will this day hold for my family? Let's be honest. 2021 was not a good year for a lot of people. If you were in business, chances are it was not a good year for you financially. We look at all the deaths that were recorded in 2021, whether they be from COVID or whatever, and we go, man, it was a tough year. I've seen so many posts on Facebook and Twitter. Sure hope 2022 is better than 2021, and indeed we do. You look at, it's just not COVID, but look at all the major disasters that we've gone through this year. You look in the, watch the evening news and you see the fires in the west and the floods in the east. Just in the last few weeks, we've seen the greatest natural storm disaster in our state's history. Tornadoes that ripped through western Kentucky. Yesterday, floods in several counties in eastern Kentucky. So we're a tornado shut down in Hopkinsville. So we've got, the weather is enough to trouble us these days, isn't it? You turn on the news and you see that most major cities in this country had not only an increase in murders, but they had record numbers of murders. Then you consider the political discord that we have. I mean, it seems like whatever party is involved, they're just more and more antagonistic toward each other. So can, you know, with that framework, can 2022 be a good year for you? Can it be a good year that COVID seems to vanish from the headlines and from the newscast on the evening news? Or will it be even worse? Will it be a devastating year? Will it be a year that your life changes forever and not for the good? Well, I think Joshua was somewhat in the same predicament as we are, even though there are so many thousands of years that have passed. Joshua, we we see he is Moses' assistant. He's identified as Moses' aide. And he has been chosen by Almighty God to be the leader of the Israelite nation. Well, he's in a place where things can go very, very right, or they can go very, very wrong. And I'm sure Moses had some apprehension as he approached the task that God had in store for him of leading the Israelites into the promised land. You have to understand how change is not something we embrace very often, is it? When there's a change in the boss at work, you always wonder, oh man, how's this going to impact me? Is my life going to be worse? Is it going to be better? I think the people, the Israelites and Joshua, I think Joshua there is, I think, naturally concerned. I mean, Moses is the only leader that the people at this point in time had ever known. And we know how Moses was used by God to do some wonderful things. Joshua quickly understands, man, I've got some big shoes to fill. What's happened as we reach Joshua chapter 1? Well, you remember Moses has successfully led the children of Israel out of bondage in Egypt. They enter into the wilderness. They are on the route to the promised land. And 12 spies are sent out as they are on the verge of going into the promised land. 12 spies. 10 of them say, oh, there's no way we can go into this land. We're like grasshoppers in the sight of the inhabitants there. So this very negative report led to the people of God, the Israelites, rebelling against God, saying, no, we cannot go in. Only Joshua and Caleb gave a positive report. Only those two men said, oh, we can do it. Our God is powerful. Our God is faithful. We can do that. No, the 10 rebelled, and as a result, there was a period of discipline, what I would say to you, for the Israelite nation. They rebelled. They were not going to get it to go into the promised land. God said, I'll tell you what, everybody 20 years old and older who rebelled against me, they will not enter the promised land. Well, so you only have Joshua and Caleb who are left, who didn't die out during that 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. Now, I think about human nature, and I think about the Israelites, and they wandered for 40 years. I think it's safe to say they were going in circles. I think they retrod some of the paths that they have walked on during those 40 years. I mean, that's a long time just to be wandering in the wilderness. So they had some old paths that they wandered on. Some of us are like that. We've been mired up in the same paths for a long time. We've not launched out into a new path that would honor God and that would enlarge and build His kingdom. In 2022, there are probably some paths that you're going to take that you never imagined that you would take before. And when that happens, when that new path is there for you, I want you to remember Joshua and the words that were given to him, the promises that God gave to him. We can take encouragement from these words, from God's word that encourages us and leads us as we go into the new year. First of all, on your notes, I want you to notice Joshua faces a new challenge. You see that in verses 1 and 2. Joshua has been the assistant. He's not had to call the shots. It's been for Moses to call the shots. You look at virtually every time that the Israelites murmur, they complain, why did you lead us out here, Moses? Wish you left us back there in slavery in Egypt. They weren't heaping their criticisms on Joshua. Joshua was just sitting there watching it happen. Now Joshua knows I'm the one in the hot seat. Now when the complaints come, those are going to come to me. I think as this sets the stage for what happens in Joshua chapter 3, they're on the verge of entering the promised land. That means they're right there with the Jordan River in front of them. And you think, well, he's going to lead them across. I'm going to tell you what, you studying this sermon for another time. The Jordan was overflowing. How could he lead them across this river? That was a daunting task. Also was a daunting task of all those inhabitants of the promised land. God had promised the victory over them, but still he was the one who was to lead them in that battle. You know, most people, following in the footsteps of a legend, and certainly Moses was a legend, well, they can be overwhelmed. And it doesn't matter how big their egos are. They have to have some element of, can I do this? Can I be the leader that this nation needs, that God has blessed, and God has said, these are my chosen people? I'm sure he felt some pressure. And I'm sure he felt a number of what if questions. Traveling 40 years, and he's seen some great things that Moses did. And I'm sure he wonders, can I be the leader that Moses was? He saw how God used Moses to part the Red Sea. He saw how God used Moses to provide water out of a rock. He saw how God used Moses to lift up that bronze serpent in the wilderness, and all who were bitten by the serpent who would look on that. And that was a picture of what Christ would be to us. He saw Moses lift up that serpent, that anyone who looked on it would live regardless if they'd been bitten. They would not die. He saw God use Moses to provide manna, to provide quail. And he's thinking, can I do this? I don't have Moses as a confidant. I don't ask Moses, what would you do in this situation? He finds himself leading a group of people who are known as mumblers, as grumblers, as complainers, as people who just were very ungrateful. They want to go back into slavery rather than to face these new challenges. Well, so here's a challenge for Joshua to lead the people. Number two, you see, God promises his presence. You see that in verses 3-6, when God says, you know, I'm gonna give you all this land, and Joshua, all my promises are just there. Those that I gave to Moses, those apply to you just as well. As you see here, no one's gonna be able to stand against you. And he says, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. So I think that's a very important verse for us to understand. The promises that I gave to Moses, those were not just to one individual. That was to the Israelite nation. And those promises apply to you, Joshua. Moses is dead. He cannot lead. You will be the one. I think if we were to put in today's terms, God's saying, Joshua, when I made those promises to Moses, there was no asterisk beside them. There was no asterisk to say, well, these are null and void if Moses is not on the scene. No, those promises apply to Joshua and to the Israelite nation. And God has said, I've given you this territory. I want you to go in to possess it. Now, this principle of God's promises applying from generation to generation, those should encourage us. I'm encouraged by the promises of Jesus during his earthly ministry. That's why we can praise the Lord for his faithfulness, that what he told the people during his earthly life, that those promises apply to me and you just as well. I can take comfort when Jesus said, I have come that you may have life, and that you may have it more abundantly. That was a promise to them, but that's a promise to me and you besides the abundant life. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you that where I am, there you may be also. That's our promise that as we believe and trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior, when this earthly life ends, that we're going to go to heaven to be with Him forever. Read one of the phrases I read here since I read in this text, I will never leave you or forsake you. I want you to consider that statement. I will never leave you or forsake you. If you're like me, there's sometimes I've thought, Lord, where are you? Why have you not heard my prayer? Then the truth of this scripture hits me. It hits me hard. He tells Joshua, I'll never leave you or forsake you. You can look through scripture and you can see this principle of that sentence stated in very similar terms or paraphrased 82 times in scripture. You see it all the way from Genesis through Revelation. This promise that God makes to us, I will never leave you or forsake you. What about the promise, whosoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on them. John 3 tells us that. And then that wonderful verse from Matthew chapter 11, come unto me all you who are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. You'll find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That promise from Matthew 11, that applies if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. That promise applies to you, that you can come to Him. John 6 says that He will never, the original thing says He will in no wise cast us down. I like the promise in Revelation 22. Look, I am coming soon, bringing my reward with me to repay all people according to their deeds. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. That's from Revelation 22. So, these promises that God has given to Joshua, he can take heart in. God's promise, you've got my presence. You're not going into this aspect of life, this part of Israel's history. You're not going into alone. You've got me, Joshua. Joshua needs that. He needs all the grace of God that is going to help him to lead the people into the promised land. And God tells him, Joshua, I just want you to remember my promise. Remember my promises, Joshua. Every place on which your shoe hits, I have given to you. You're not going to step on land that is outside the land that I'm giving to you. God is saying to Joshua, I think, feed your soul on the promises that can never, ever fail. I like verse 5. It's a powerful verse. No one is going to be able to stand against you. No one, Joshua, is going to prevail against you. It has to be the great encouragement for Joshua to know that God is not only with me, but He is going to make me successful. He is going to help me to win the battles. Sometimes our lives seem like they could not get much worse. Seems like they might be falling apart. And I want you, when that happens, to remember this verse. And God says, I'm keeping my promise to you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Sometimes when the storm clouds gather, sometimes when the storms may break, sometimes when lightning and thunder crash into your lives, remember, God's presence with you is sure and it's certain. That's what Joshua hears. God can be trusted. Trusted why? Because of His presence in my life. When you face a challenge, you immediately, like I'm afraid I tend to do, seek to try and strategize. How can I solve this dilemma, this problem, this discouragement in my life, and I set up out of what I can do as in my humanness. God says, no, you come to me. You can trust me, Joshua. You can trust me, Chip, to help you in those times of great trouble. Feel my presence and understand that I am with you and I will not forsake you. Number two on your outline, you can be confident in God's presence and God's purpose. You can be confident in the purpose of God. Three times God says, Joshua, I want you to be strong. I want you to be courageous. One time he makes a statement, I want you to be strong and very courageous. Have you heard similar words in your life? When difficult times come and God says, I know it's tough. I know it's a trial that you are enduring, but I want you to be courageous. I want you to be strong in the midst of this. Joshua can be strong and courageous. Why? Because he senses God's presence and his purpose. God had promised to give the Israelites the land of Canaan. He promised that long ago. In their rebellion, that promise was not abolished. That promise was delayed. But there are so many things that Joshua has facing him, so many challenges, and yet he sees a purpose. Do you see God's purpose in your life? What has God presented to you that he says, this is what I want you to do in life, whether it's in regard to your family, whether it's in regard to what you do as a job or a vocation? God says, I've got a purpose for you in this. Don't think that you're where you are by chance. No, we serve a sovereign God who puts us in places to accomplish his purposes. I mentioned the overflowing river. That was the first major challenge. In Joshua 3, we'll see that Joshua's faithfulness, his belief that God will fulfill it, absolutely makes that come to pass. But I think that Joshua faces the same question that we face in our lives. What is that question? That question is, what will I trust God for in my future? What will I trust God to do in the year 2022? It's a question that Joshua faced. It's a question that you face. We must agree. I will trust God no matter what the circumstances. I will trust God no matter what obstacles come my way. I will trust God in those spiritual battles that come against me in 2022. The book of Joshua, I think, demonstrates the victory of faith. The same victory is available for every one of us today if you trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior and as your Lord. It's in sharp contrast to the book of Numbers. You read that and you see it's mostly marked by unfaithfulness. But in here we see Joshua trusting God, demonstrating his faith. I think what happens to Joshua is what is mentioned in the New Testament in 1 John 5:4. That verse says this: this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Faith must mark our life. It's important to understand that Joshua needed God's assurance. He needed to know that God was with him. You know, most of us in this life encounter some people who we would call them braggarts. They become, their ego gets so high, and the more they go through life, the more they want to exalt their ego. Late Adrian Rogers tells the story of a man who bragged, I'm so tough, I cut off the tail of a man-eating lion with a pocket knife. And then somebody said, well, why didn't you cut off his head? He said, because somebody else had already done it. not mean that you don't have fear. It does not mean that there's an element of your humanness that sends your heart rate up, that gets that adrenaline pumping. But what, when you're courageous for God, it means I fear not obeying God more than anything else. I will be courageous because I know God is fighting the victory for me. It means that I fear God more than I fear my environment. It means that I fear and that I understand those divine resources are there for me and that I could not do these things on my own. It's been said courage is not diminishing the fact that you are in fear, but it is facing that fear and being successful over it. Philip Brooks is an author who wisely said, don't ask for tasks equal to your powers. Ask for powers equal to the task. And so in 2022, that might be good to put on your refrigerator, on your computer monitor. Ask for powers for the task I have ahead of me. So not only can he take solace in God's presence, not only does he understand that God has a purpose for him, but thirdly, he has to stay the course. You see that in verses 7 through 10. If he's going to be strong, he's going to be very courageous, then he's going to have to stay on the right path. He must be committed to following the Lord's direction. Since he cannot turn from the right to the left, we lifted those terms up to a political discord. That's somewhat what it means here. He's not going to go either way. He's not going to compromise. He's going to be faithful to what God has told him to do. For Farmdale to be the church that God wants it to be, this advice must be your story too. You cannot compromise. You're known as a church that does not compromise the truth of God's word. Stay faithful to that. Don't twist God's words to your own liking. Tell it like it is, like God has told us. Mark says obedience is the best path. Now, don't read this as God saying, you're going to have to do some good works to fulfill these promises. It's not what he's saying. It's not an emphasis on words. It's an emphasis on this is what is best for you. If you'll just follow my precepts, if you'll follow my law, life is going to be good for you. It will keep you out of so many problems. And then I think back to Isaiah. Isaiah says that God's purpose in making us, we know, was to glorify Him. How do you glorify God? You do it by obeying Him, by being a faithful servant of Him. That is what brings Him the most glory. So God says, I'm going to take you into the land. I'm going to give it to you. I want you to obey my commands because that's how you glorify me when you do it. God says, I know what's best for you rather than you saying, I know what's best for me. I want you to look at this instruction to follow His commands, to be obedient to Him. It is complete. He says, you're to implement all of my commands into your life. Now, we cannot treat Scripture as a buffet line. Well, I like this one. I don't like that one. I'm not going to get that. No, we are to obey the entire law. God told Joshua, don't you vary from it one bit. And I think you see an issue here of being consistent. Not only is the Scripture complete, but it leads us to a consistent. We are not to be Sunday morning only Christians. We're to live for the Lord Monday through Saturday as well. We must live consistently godly lives. I notice one thing here. He says, notice that the Lord says we're to meditate on the Word. In other words, that's to be on our minds when we're speaking. You go back to Deuteronomy 6:8, when he tells them to teach your children Let that be what's known in your home is the Word of God. And I think, man, here in America today, how we have strayed from that. I told you last week in my sermon how I always could use Romans 12:18 about being in peace with all people in my home and in my business. And I think, why don't we do that more? Perfect example. How many times have you heard of a dilemma, a problem, and somebody says this, somebody says that? It's his word against your word. It's like, well, you know, you need to understand both sides of the story. Wonder what it would do if you hear that happen and you say, you know, we need to hear both sides of the story, because Proverbs 18:17 says, the one who states his case first seems right, but when he is cross-examined, it's a different story. See, there are ways that you can take biblical text and mold it into your life. What a difference that would make in the homes and families, in homes where children grow up, and they hear the Word of God referenced. You know, I think for some of us, we get tired of grinding sometimes, and sometimes we feel like giving up. Like, just, man, I'm just not going back to church. I'm just discouraged. You know, life seems to be a problem. You just don't know the problems that I have, and we feel like giving up, but we must remain faithful. Why is that? Because when we compromise, as this scripture tells us not to do, compromise leads to chaos. Distractions can lead to destruction, but faithfulness will lead to fulfillment. Faithfulness will lead to fulfillment. You'll be fulfilled in your life, be faithful. Finally, I want you to look at start the process in verse 11. God gave Joshua the victory plan, his strategy for what was going to happen, which was, Joshua, you just do what I tell you to do. Joshua didn't say, well, now, Lord, I think I've got a little bit better idea. I think I can tweak your plan just a little bit. No, Joshua immediately starts the process. He doesn't debate it. He doesn't question it. He says, we will do that. And that's what you see when him giving instructions to gather the people, because we, in 3 days, we're going to go into the promised land. People didn't know what the plan was, did they? Didn't send any spies in this time. He's trusting God to fulfill his word. As we, on this first Sunday of 2022, let me ask you to examine your life. Ask you if you have embraced the promises and the principles that are told to us in these 11 verses. We sang about standing on the promises of God. Are you standing on God's promises? Or are you drifting out in the sea of unfaithfulness? Let me ask you, do you sense God's presence in your life? You say no, let me ask you, well, when's the last time you diligently prayed? When's the last time you read your Bible? Are you willing to stay the course? Are you willing to make the Bible your handbook, your guide for daily living? Even if some of your family, some of your co-workers might label you as being crazy for God. Let me ask you one other question. Talk about obedience. Jesus gave us this great commission. Are you in the process of fulfilling that great commission? When's the last time you talked to someone about what the Lord could do for them in their spiritual life? God told Joshua, the promised land is there, Joshua, for your taking, because I'm in your presence and I've got a purpose for you. Can you apply that to your life? If you go out and you encounter someone in the course of your daily life, God says, it's there for the taking. My pastor's Tim Booker. Been at Southern Seminary for 25 years. He told of going into a convenience store to get gas. Some old rough preparatory was there, and Tim said, I wanted to ask that person about the Lord, but I was in a hurry. We get home, and I thought, it probably won't do any good. He said he had paid for his, whatever his purchase was. He turned around, walked out. Here came a guy, was like a, what we would call a biker dude. Tattoos, chains. He heard that man go up and ask that person the question that he did not ask. Have you ever trusted Jesus as your Savior? And he said, it struck me. Here I am, a pastor, and I wouldn't ask that person. He said, told me no one is beyond the grace of God, and that God sets up providential appointments for each of us to tell someone about him. Will you do that in 2022? Will you be strong and courageous in telling people about their need of a Savior? Farmdale, let me speak to this church. Farmdale, you're embarking on a new journey, aren't you? You've got your pastor of some 13 years is gone, and you're searching for your next pastor. Will you claim these promises? I encourage your search team, claim these promises. God will be with you. God's presence will be with you, and He will use you to fulfill His purpose, which is finding God's man for this local church, for this body of believers. God will be with you, search team. Remain in His presence. Understand you are on that search team for a purpose. You're not there by accident. This church's prayer is that your seven people will remain in the presence of God. That they will have confidence that God is leading them, and they're not being led by their own instincts and their own wisdom. Will you commit to praying each and every day for these seven members that are listed in your bulletin? I encourage you, Farmdale, as you start 2022, pray for these people. As we go to our time of invitation, let me ask you, and I mentioned all these problems that 2021 has, does it not strike you that our Lord's return is imminent? That He is coming soon? I don't know when He'll be, but I do believe that Jesus is coming soon. And He does not want anyone to be left outside this kingdom. So if you're here today, you've never asked Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins, to come into your heart and be your Savior. Will you do that today?